All right. Well, it's my privilege to introduce you to tonight's speaker, and I've had the privilege of knowing this guy for a number of years now, and I just hope that he's seen in me a fraction of the growth that I've seen in him. He's a really, really great guy. He's very active in the fellowship. He's always willing to put out his hand and help a fellow suffering alcoholic, and I'd ask you to please welcome to the stage Art. Good evening, everybody. My name's Art, and I'm a grateful, recovered alcoholic. You know, first and foremost, you know, I want to say, hey, Bill, is there any more reading? I was like, wow, man, I'm about to pop, you know, and this is my first time coming to this particular meeting, you know, and for me, any AA meeting is a good meeting, regardless of where it's at. You know, one of the things that I've learned in the short time that I've been here is that, you know, I belong to a fellowship that just isn't in Visalia. You know, I can go anywhere in the United States, outside of the United States, and more than likely where I find myself, there's going to be a meeting. You know, and I've attended meetings, and I can actually say I've attended meetings in another country. You know, I'm grateful to be able to be here tonight. You know, one of the things that I'm most grateful for is the fellowship. You know, I've established some really good friendships in recovery. I have stronger relationships with some family members or with family members that I've met here than some of my relationships that I have with my actual own family members. You know, if you stick around here, you're gonna meet a lot of people, and you know, you're gonna establish relationships that will last a lifetime. You know, but it takes a little bit of work. You have to, you know, learn how to be a friend. You know, and I didn't know how to do that when I got here. You know, when I got here, the only thing that I really knew how to do was how to drink and how to get in trouble. You know, I'll take you back, you know, and give you a little bit of my experience with alcohol. I started drinking well before I was 10 years old, you know, because that's kind of the way that my family was. You know, as soon as it was okay to open a beer can for, you know, the relatives that came over when we were having parties, it was okay to take a drink. You know, and I soon moved on to drinking a little bit more and, you know, sneaking the whole can away, you know, and continued drinking. You know, when I was at the age of around 13 or 14 years old, I decided that it was more important to get to hang out with the homies and drink alcohol than it was to get an education. So I dropped out of school in the ninth grade. You know, and way before that, I had already started drinking, you know, on, if not a daily basis, every other day. You know, the readings talk about, you know, switching from one to another, and that came along for me a little bit further on in my growing up. You know, I got in a lot of trouble. As I was growing up, I thought that it was okay to run the streets and not listen to my mom, you know, and my grandfather was very, he was a very big influence on my life, you know, and he used to always tell me, you know, if you drink, you know, you're going to do something else, and it's always stepping stones, you know. I'm here to tell you that I didn't graduate from anything. You know, I graduated from, you know, alcohol to other things and to jail, you know, things like that. You know, I didn't graduate from elementary school. I didn't graduate from intermediate school. I never graduated from high school. What I can tell you, though, is later on in life, through the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, the God of my understanding is that I was able to go back to school. I was able to take some college classes, you know, and I got really good grades. I got A's in the classes that I took, you know, and that, for me, is God doing for me what I found impossible to do for myself for many, many years, you know. I didn't even have it in a thought, that I would ever go back to school. It wasn't there for me. You know, I didn't do good in school when I was younger. I wasn't going to get any better as I got older. You know, 2 weeks after I turned 18 years old, I picked up my first DUI. You know, and the officer told me right then and there, man, you should have got this 3 weeks ago. You know, you would have been able to get it off of your record. You know, at 18 years old, I came down here to the Tulare Fair because I come from Southern California. And, you know, I thought it would be funny to be sneaking up on cops with my brothers and my cousins and a friend from down south and act like I was going to take his gun from him. You know, and that landed me arrested here, drunk. You know, and the pattern continued. I've been arrested, you know, at many venues. You know, some of them, Dodger Stadium. I've been arrested at the Universal City Walk, all of them for public intoxication. All of them for being drunk. You know, there's one thing that I do know. As I was growing up, I never once asked a friend, hey, do you want to go and have a couple beers? They didn't come out of me. Well, I say things like, hey, you want to go out and get drunk? You want to go out and get, you know, hammered tonight? Those are the kind of things that I said to my friends. You know, I never once said, hey, you know what, let's go out and have a couple margaritas and go home. Let's go out, you know, and have a six-pack and go home. You know, if I was with a couple of friends and we were buying a six-pack, I was trying to drink faster than everybody else so that I could have one of their beers. You know, because that's just the way that I drank. You know, if I was going from my house to the park or my house to, you know, wherever I was going, it was always, hey, you know what, how many is it going to take to get there? I think, you know, 224 is to get me there, you know, and when I'm getting near there, I'll stop and get a couple for when I'm there. And when I'm leaving, I stop to get them to go home. You know, and right before I get home, I stop again and I get them so that I don't run out. You know, I'm the kind of alcoholic that'll show up at a bar at 10 o'clock in the morning, and they're telling you to leave at 1 o'clock in the morning when they're closing the place down. You know, and even then, I don't want to go home. I want to continue drinking. You know, I'm hoping that somebody says, hey, let's go to my house, I got plenty of alcohol. Because that's the way that I drink. Once I start, I have no control over stopping. I don't know. Once I take one drink, I don't know what's going to happen. All bets are off. You know, what I have learned, you know, is I landed in jail in 2005 with my second DUI in 6 weeks. And I admitted in my innermost self that I had a problem drinking. You know, I didn't want to believe that I was an alcoholic. You know, but my innermost self knew that I had a problem. And I didn't know how to fix that problem. You know, I did not know how to fix that problem. I knew that right then and there that I was in a whole lot of trouble. You know, I knew that I was in a lot of trouble. I had already started going through an ugly, ugly divorce with my ex-wife. She had me arrested, you know, in May. I was there to get visitation of my girls. You know, and she was there to tell the judge, hey, you know what, this man's got a felony warrant out of L.A. County. I want him arrested. I don't want him to see my girls. You know, and I said, okay, you know what, bailiff arrested me. Eight days later, when I had court again, I brought up the fact that she had a warrant, and they arrested her the second time we were in court. You know, I said, you can play at that game. And at that time, I was really, really sick. You know, I was real sick. I didn't care much about myself, let alone anybody else. I was self-centered. You know, everything was about me. You know, and the ugly thing is that sometimes I can still get that way. You know, when I don't take care of the daily maintenance of the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, I can get real ugly. I can get really self-centered and be sober. You know, and that's a dangerous part. That's a dangerous place to be for me. You know, because my mind will tell me that I can get away with certain things. You know, that I don't have to walk the walk out there. You know, that nobody's looking. You know, you'd be surprised. I run into people in the program everywhere. seems like everywhere I go, I run into somebody that I've met in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. I go back to the relationships that I've built here. You know, I hardly speak to one of my brothers. You know, and I feel bad because I know that a lot of that is on me. You know, and it's things that, you know, eventually I hope that it turns around and that I have that relationship back. You know, and sometimes I pray for it not to be soon. You know, because me and him, we still butt heads a lot. You know, and it's better. I could see him right now in a grocery store, and we probably wouldn't say hi to each other. Now, if we're at my mom's house, we'll say hi because, you know, that's like we have to. You know, my mom kind of looks at me, and, you know, and I don't try to make my mom hurt as much today. And I say as much because I was all about hurting my mom before I got here. You know, I would do whatever it took to make sure that I was able to continue drinking. You know, and I caused my mom a lot of heartache. A lot of heartache. You know, I caused my ex-wife a lot of heartache, even though I don't like to admit it. You know, I remember spending my paychecks that were supposed to take care of my children, you know, on a weekend. You know, I'd start off drinking with a nice paycheck, and by the end of the night, I'm like, wow. Well, the next morning, I was like, wow. Then that night, I didn't care. You know, it really didn't matter. I'm the kind of alcoholic that'll go into a bar, and if there's 10 of us drinking, hey, you know what? I got rounds for all 10 of them. You know? And then the next day, wonder, man, where did I spend all my money? And I'm not talking about just one round. I'm talking about a few rounds. You know, in hopes that not only will they like me more, but that they'll buy me a round, hopefully. You know? And that, you know what, that the women are going to like me a little bit more, you know, that whole social acceptance, the acceptance that I look for, you know, these are things that I learned through the steps. You know, the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous helped me change my life. You know, good sponsorship helped me change my life. You know, I learned that I was powerless over alcohol very early in recovery. You know, I didn't know that I was going to come here, though, and that I wasn't ever able to, that I wasn't ever able to, brutal, that I wasn't ever going to be able to take another drink. You know, I always thought that I'd be able to drink someday. You know, I'm glad that the first day that I got here, that somebody didn't say, hey, you know what, this is it, man, you're retired, you're going to never, ever be able to drink again. Because I still look at it and I say, hey, you know what? I have three daughters and two sons, three sons. And eventually, they're going to get married. I'm going to go through weddings. I'm going to go through nice parties. I'm going to do a lot of things, you know. And I say to myself, man, I'm going to have to go through that and I'm not going to drink. You know, one of the easy things about this program is it's a very simple program. And the only thing that I have to worry about is not drinking today. You know, the day that my girls get married or the day that I have a big function, you know, as long as I don't drink that day, I'm going to be okay. Even when I'm mad, I can get mad. And, you know, that's a very dangerous place for an alcoholic. You know, resentment is the number one thing that takes people back out. You know, and what I've learned is that if I don't drink today, I'm going to be okay. That's the only thing that I have to worry about. Because I can get mad and say, you know what, I want to drink. And you know what, as long as I take care of myself in that moment, you know, go back to step one. I go back to step one a lot because that's the only step that I believe that I have to work perfectly. My sponsor tells me the same thing. You know, I can work step one perfectly and I could halfway do the other 11 and I might be successful in this program. But if I do half-heartedly step one and I do the other 11 steps perfectly, odds are I might go back to drinking. You know, and I need to remember that. You know, I do not want to go back to the way that I was living before. You know, the way that I was living before landed me sleeping in the back of my car for a while, being homeless with a lot of family members around me. You know, I need to remember that kind of stuff because that's where my drinking takes me. You know, not having any trust from any of my family members. You know, I'm glad that today I have a little of that trust back. You know, my mom told me the other day, and she didn't tell me, you know, to me. She said it on, you know, that Facebook that all of us are part of, or a lot of us. You know, I was talking about character defects, you know, and how I'm grateful that I don't have to act out on certain things, you know, and that I need to work on my character defects. And, you know, she's telling me, hey, you know what, you're doing okay. You know, you've made a lot of changes, but you're the last one to see them. You know, and I'm grateful that I don't have to be the same person that I was before. You know, those three daughters I don't want to say that I didn't care about my kids. I love my daughters. You know, but at the end, my actions spoke louder than my words. You know, when I was going to court and fighting to get custody of my children, you know, I wasn't there for them. You know, that's the bottom line. You know, I chose to continue drinking and hoping that maybe one day that I'd drink enough and I wouldn't wake up in the morning. You know, not really wanting to commit suicide, but if it just so happened that I didn't wake up in the morning, I'd be okay with it. Because the pain had gotten that hard for me. You know, today I have a relationship with all three of those daughters. You know, I actually can speak with my ex-wife today. You know, when I got here in 2005, I had picked up two DUIs 6 weeks apart. And both of them, you know, it's my story and I'm going to stick to it. I had another substance with me that night, on both nights. You know, and it just so happened to land me in the drug court program here in Tulare County. You know, and I was already fighting that other case out of LA County, and, you know, they put me in the first offender DUI program, and they had me in Proposition 36. So I was in Prop 36. I was in the first offender DUI program, Tulare County, for those two things that I got caught with here. They put me in the drug court program. I had 52 weeks of anger management, and I had a 3-year restraining order from my ex-wife. You know, and I say that not to brag about how much trouble I was in when I got here, but to sit here and tell you that one day at a time, showing up to meetings, doing the right thing, I was able to walk through and get one taken care of, you know. And I went back to L.A., and they're like, you know what, congratulations, you passed. We're going to skip probation. You're already in enough trouble in Tulare County. They're going to take care of you over there. You know, and then I continued to come here. You know, one of the greatest things that I've ever accomplished in my life was graduating from drug court. I did graduate. And I felt that sense of accomplishment. You know, because for me, it had been real easy for me to continue drinking, for me to fail the program, and end up the way that I thought that I would when I was a youngster growing up. You know, I honestly thought that at some point in my life, I was going to live in prison. I wasn't going to go visit prison. I was going to go live there. You know, and it wasn't going to be, you know, 6 months or a year. I was going to go and stay there for a while. And, you know, I almost did. You know, it cost me a lot of money. My mom helped me tremendously. She paid a lot of money, you know, and I was able to stay out here. You know, and one day at a time, you know, I detoxed in my mom's house. It was very, very hard. Probably the hardest thing that I've ever done in my life. You know, and then I walked into my first meeting on October 24th of 2005. It was the Alana Club. And I heard people say things to me like, hey, you know what? You don't ever have to drink again. You know? Call me if it's that bad and you got a good enough reason, I'll go out with you. You know? People with 30 years telling me that, and I'm like, man, he got 30 years. They got to be lying. I'm thinking there's no way when I'm sitting there with less than 30 days that somebody says, hey, I got 30 years and I'm an alcoholic, you know. I'm saying, can't be. You know, and one of the first things that I got into was service work. And I became the treasurer for the morning meeting. And I stayed there for over a year. You know, and I picked up other service commitments, you know. One of the service commitments that I had, somebody told me, hey, you know what, if you pick up this one-year service commitment, when you're done, you're going to have an extra year behind you. You know? And I looked at it like, okay. You know, I'm ready. I love my life today. You know, I get to live today. And that's far from what was going on when I got here. You know, at the end of my drinking, you know, I went from, okay, you know what, I'm not gonna drink during the day. Because I'm the kind of alcoholic that'll pick my kids up from elementary school with a 12-pack on my floorboard. You know, that's just the way that I drink. I didn't care. You know, and if somebody came up to me and they wanted to look in my car and see what I was doing, you know, so be it. If you're going to call the cops on me, call the cops on me. I don't care. It was that self-centeredness. I didn't care about anybody but myself. You know, I couldn't even put the beer alone, put it down for 10 or 15 minutes while I picked the kids up. It was all about me, you know. I used to have to take my ex-wife to work in Fresno, you know, and pick her up. And, you know, on the way there, I'd be drinking. On the way back, I'd be drinking. And by the time I got home, I was drunk. You know, I thank God that I don't have to live that way. You know, there was only God, somebody greater than me, that was able to intervene in my life and show me that there's a different way to live. You know, because I didn't believe it when I got here. You know, I truly believe in being honest in this program. You know, the how of the program, the honesty, the open-mindedness, and the willingness. You know, I thank God that I had the willingness to at least open my ears and my thoughts to that I might have a problem, that I just might be alcoholic, even though I wasn't willing to believe it at the beginning. You know, because when I came here, I figured that, you know, the cops already had my car down. As long as I kept driving the same car, I was going to continue getting in trouble. You know, the CHP were after me, you know, and everything else that goes along with it. I'm glad that there's 12 steps that help me on the road to a new way of living. You know, because today I have a living problem, I don't have a drinking problem. My drinking problem was over a long, long time ago. You know, it's what to do when life shows up. You know, I was helping my mom out yesterday, you know, and it's, me and my mom don't hug very much. We're not lining up to kiss each other. You know, that's just not the way that we do things, you know, and she was able to say thank you to me yesterday for helping her out, you know, and I'm glad that today I can hear thank yous rather than all the foul language directed at me and telling me how big of a disappointment I was, how I was never going to amount to anything, how I was worthless. You know, I used to feel worthless making $7,000-$8,000 a month because of the way that I was. I was, you know, living for me. I was living. I wasn't contributing to my household. I wasn't taking very good care of my kids. And life just seemed to be getting worse and by the year. That's probably by the day. But if I look at it, my life from one year to the next kept getting worse and worse and worse. You know, today, I'm self-employed. You know, I don't have to worry about, you know, we always have to worry about, you know, if we're going to make money. But you know what? It's been my experience that one of the promises says that I'm not going to fear that economic, You know, I'm not going to have that fear of not making money. And, you know, every time that I start to get anxiety about stuff like that, I can say a prayer, and then I don't know how it just so happens that somebody called and said, hey, you know what, I'm sending you your money, or somebody showed up when I wasn't at my office and dropped them off. I pick up a new client. You know, I never know, and it reaffirms the fact that I don't have to have fear. That if I continue doing the right thing, you know, one day at a time, that my life will continue to get better. You know, I work in the mortgage industry, and, you know, it hasn't been too good the last few years. You know, I've seen a lot of people have to find new means of work. And I continue to be able to be employed, you know. I see that as, if I continue doing the right thing one day at a time, that the God of my understanding is going to take care of me. You know, I was able to remarry in this program, and I have an awesome wife. My wife is awesome, you know, and she's never had to see me get drunk. I've never had to put hands on my wife. I've never had to call her outside of her name. You know, I have two young little boys that have never seen me get drunk. You know, those are blessings for me. And I hope that, you know, one day at a time, my kids, I can show them through my experience that they don't have to do it either. You know, I'm powerless over what they do. You know, and I understand that you know, they're young, and, you know, they're growing up, and they're going to write their own story. You know, all I can do is be the best example that I can be today. You know, and through the sponsorship, working the steps, you know, I want to go back to the steps a little bit, because, you know, that's what changed my life. You know, step one, you know, where I admitted I was powerless over alcohol, it's a two-step. You know, it's a two-part step. You know, the first part of it being the unmanageability, or the powerlessness, and the second part being the unmanageability. That unmanageability is within me. You know, I truly believe that I myself make my life unmanageable. You know, life is there, you know, and if I drink, I'm going to make my life unmanageable. You know, step two talks about, you know, being restored to sanity. You know, some of the thoughts that I had were insane. You know, me thinking that it'd be okay to go live in prison, that's insanity. You know, me thinking that you know, it's okay to call my ex-wife out of her name, you know, and do the things that I did around my kids, it's insanity. Me driving, drinking, me thinking that it's okay to drink and ride is insane thinking. You know, my grand sponsor says, first thought, wrong thought. You know, my brain's broke, so my first thought's always going to be my wrong thought. And sometimes, you know, I try not to do it as much, because for me it's real easy to go off of that first thought. Oh, and I find myself getting in trouble when I do that. You know, when I sit there and analyze and I get back into myself and I say, hey, you know what, what's the right thing to do? I can usually go back and fix whatever's going on at the time. You know, step three, turning my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand Him. You know, for me, that's real big. That allows me to believe that I'm not going to be in charge of my life anymore. You know, even though I like to be in charge, you know, I need to know that somebody else is in charge of my life, and that I'm just here, you know, and that I can be a channel for God to speak today and maybe come across and help somebody in here. You know, those are my beliefs. You know, that He's in control of my life no matter what. If I do something and I, you know, and I end up making mistakes, I'm going to make mistakes. I'm not perfect. You know, I can tell you here, because I don't want anybody to think, hey, you know what, that guy thought he was all that, and, you know, I've made mistakes while I've been in recovery. I've done some things that I'm ashamed of in AA, but I can honestly tell you that I've worked with my sponsor to correct the behaviors and stop doing what I was ashamed of. You know, I didn't take a drink. You know, some people come in here and, you know, it's been my experience, you know, people come in here and they go and they come back and they go. Ever since I got here, October 24th of 2005, I have yet to have to go back to the old way of living. You know, for me, that's big stuff. Because I only knew one thing when I got here, and that was to drink. You know, step four talks about a moral inventory. And when I got here, I'm like, inventory? What are they talking about? You know, that ninth grade education, and really not ninth grade because I was only there half the time. You know, the only time that I was there was at lunchtime to see the girls before school and after school. You know, I went to some classes, and I wasn't there more than I was there. You know, that was what I did when I was at that age. You know, and I got here, and I didn't understand a lot of things. You know, I didn't realize that my life was unmanageable when I got here. I thought that I was doing a perfectly good job, and that I just had a couple problems with my ex-wife and the courthouse and the CHP down the block. You know, I didn't realize that I had problems. You know, and I had to write down and writing the resentments and, you know, getting to why I used to drink. You know, the feelings of abandonment that I had. You know, the feeling less than. You know, not thinking that I matched up to my brothers or that my sister was better than me or, you know, that my cousins had a better life than I did. And, you know, I always found an excuse why I should go out there and continue drinking. You know, I always had an excuse to drink. You know, and having to write these things down and see them for what they were, you know, it's a resentment. You know, and allowing myself to work on that. Excuse me for a second. I feel like I got a sneeze. Okay. You know, and working through the steps, going back to step five, you know, talking about it with another human being. You know, that way it's not a secret. There was a lot of things that I did that I didn't want anybody to know. You know, I've heard things in this program that totally baffled me. You know, how could somebody say you need to surrender to win? You need to die to live? You know, I thought back and I'm like, it just don't make sense. You know, I'm not going to snitch on myself. I'm not going to snitch on anybody that I know. That's not what we do. You know, and when I got here and then they're saying, hey, you got to tell on yourself, I'm like, man, I'm in the wrong program. These guys, they got me twisted. You know, I'm not going to tell on myself. You know, and having to tell another human being some of the things that I did, and I say some of the things because that's the way it was when I got here. I wasn't going to tell anybody everything. You know? One of the biggest things that I've been able to come to grips with is, hey, you know what? These people are here to help me. They're not going to tell on me. You know, I believe and I have to have 100% trust in my sponsor until he proves me different. And I do. You know, my first sponsor in AA told me, you know what, Art? If you're going to be part of this program, you know, don't be ignorant about the program that you're working. Read the literature. Don't be ignorant. You know, a lot of people are going to tell you this and somebody's going to tell you that. You know, read it for yourself. You know, I've read a lot of books. I've read the big book. I've read Dr. Bob and the Good Old Timers. I've read, you know, the Chamberlains, A New Pair of Glasses. You know, and all of these books have been instrumental in me being able to change. You know, I sponsor people in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I help people walk through the steps. You know, and I get to see the changes in other people as I believe that I have changed. Maybe just a little bit, and I'm sure that there's a lot more room for growth. You know, I don't want to be somebody that underestimates the disease of alcohol. You know, I don't want to underestimate the disease and think, oh, I got this wand. You know, I got this. This is all under control. because it'll sneak back up on me one day and it'll try to take me back out. It'll start isolating me. At first, it'll start off by, hey, you know what, maybe you don't need as many meetings. You know? You don't need as many meetings, and, you know, after the first couple days, it's easier to say, oh, well, you know what, I'll just skip another meeting, and before long, I'll be meetingless. You know, and then I'll just think, oh, well, you know what, I don't need to call my sponsor as much either. And eventually, I'm going to be hiding from you people. Family. You know? I don't want to get there. That's why I need to stay vigilant in my recovery. I need to stay on top of my recovery. I try to go to at least, you know, 7 to 10 meetings a week. I travel for my recovery. I do 2 retreats a year for my recovery. I'm willing to go to any length to help another alcoholic that's suffering. I'm willing to go to any length to help myself. Because really, you know, out of helping somebody else out, if I end up with another day sober, it was a good day for me. When I've gotten up at 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, my wife don't understand why, but somebody will be calling me and say, hey, you know what, I'm going through it, I want to drink, or I'm drunk and I want to go detox. And I will get up out of my bed and go help somebody. You know, I get to do those kind of things today. If you're new in the program, before I forget, I want to thank everybody that came up here and got chips. It's really big. You know, for me, it was one of the biggest things that I ever did, was be able to have that willingness and the courage to come up here and take a 30-day chip, just, you know, 30 days or less. You know, that's real big. And if you're here and you got less time than me, you know, welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous. This is a program that if you stick around, it will change your life. It doesn't get better overnight, let me tell you. You know, I have different problems today than I did when I got here. You know, when I got here, my problems were the judge didn't let me see my kids. You know, I used to go to court in the morning, and I'd have that, you know, 6-pack or 12-pack in the car so that I could continue drinking until I was going to walk in, and that way I knew that when I walked out, if it wasn't the way that I wanted, that I'd be able to continue drinking. You know, I'd walk up to the front doors of the courthouse and be like, man, I got something in my pocket. Got to go back to my car and drop off a knife or whatever it was. You know, I can tell you that Alcoholics Anonymous helped save my life. You know, I've been able to get a little educated, you know, in this program. You know, I get to be there for my family. You know, and family's big for me today. You know, and it wasn't, I don't want to tell you that it was that big a couple years ago, because I thought that this is the only thing I needed to worry about, you know. But I do want to be part of my family. You know, I'll sit there and say, you know, dumb remarks to my family. Oh, well, maybe you need a program, you know. Well, it looks like, you know, you've had one too many. And you know what? It's none of my business. And I've learned that through continuing to come here, that I'm powerless over what anybody else does. You know, if I keep, you know, myself grounded and understand that, you know, I need to take care of myself. I need to take care of the daily maintenance. You know, the other steps that go along after 4 and 5, you know, the character defects and the shortcomings, you know, and writing a list of the people, being willing to write the list. That was the biggest thing for me. Being able to write a list of the people that I had harmed. You know, and thank God for sponsorship, because some of the amends I wasn't ready to make. You know, and he said, you know what, before you go and mess anything up, just put that one aside for right now. You know, and I haven't made all my amends. You know, but I've continued working in the program. I've worked through the steps. I'm going through the steps again. I'm back on step 5, actually step 6 now. And I can tell you that this is the best life possible for me. You know, I was reflecting back a couple weeks ago and about my kids' birthdays. And when I got here, you know, after I was able to see my girls, I took them to dinner. And I'm able to remember. We were at clean jumper in Fresno, you know, and I started trying to think back of the birthdays before that, and I couldn't remember any. You know, today I get to remember things like that. I said it earlier today that today I just get to make different moments in my life. You know, because everything that I go through, there's moments, you know, that I'm going to be able to remember. And as long as I'm sober, you know, my life continues to get better. I want to thank Bill for, you know, allowing me to come here and share my story. I've known I was going to come here for like 2.5 months. You know, I kind of forgot, and every time I seen him, I'm like, hey, it's just, you know, it's such and such day. He's like, yeah. You know, because I'll forget. My memory is bad sometimes. You know, I want to thank the entire group for allowing me to share my story, and thank you very much.